You thought that the Broncos game up against the 49ers was bad? This Broncos-Colts game sucks. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life while Rocket can. It's 3-0 early on in the second quarter between the Broncos and the Colts. Now, the Broncos right now are moving the football. They're at Indianapolis's 36-yard line right now. Hickey, you were on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no confidence, 10 being extremely confident. You had a confidence level of a 6 tonight in the Indianapolis Colts. With what you've seen through a quarter and now 2 or 3 minutes, where's your confidence level at now from a scale of 1 to 10?
It's going to stay at a 6, but I'm going to change the measurement here. I'm going to say feel it a 6 out of 10 that they'll get a first down in this game. Oh, just okay. One first down.
Have you started drinking yet, just wondering?
No, I'm on the air working. Or producing, excuse me.
I'll make an exception.
Really? Okay. You know what? I saw yesterday there was a handle of vodka in the newsroom.
Where?
At one of the desks.
You could crack open. I would allow you to crack open a beer.
You know what? Thank you, Zach.
You could start chugging vodka. Let's be real. Yeah, I can't get any worse in that producing spot than where we're already at. Maybe the alcohol would enhance you.
Maybe. Help definitely ease the pain of watching this.
Now, I was a little bit confused with something yesterday. So I got a tweet. The pre-show tweet that you put out, I was off yesterday. What was this topic about knowing when you were going to die yesterday that I saw when Andy Gresh was filling in? Which, by the way, I heard how Gresh, I was told I had to listen to the way Gresh opened up the show yesterday. I loved the way that Gresh opened up the show yesterday. Just taking shots left and right at Mraz. It was almost as if he was trying to get mentioned by the TA show the next day. So I thought that was a job well done by Andy Gresh. As is that a 60? Oh, it would have been good from 61 yards out. So that's a good kick from one Brandon McManus, kicking with McManus, as it is now 6-0 Denver on top of the Indianapolis Colts. But anyway, I saw a tweet yesterday, and it said, would you want to know when you want to die? What the heck were you guys talking about yesterday?
Gresh was bringing up a story where Dana White, I guess, went to some...
Friend of show, Dana White.
Friend of show.
Supposed to be joining us in studio from what his camp told me when the UFC's coming back to New York next month in November. We'll see if that ends up happening, but they said we think we'll be able to get him in studio, so I hope that happens.
You can then ask Dana yourself this question, because apparently went to, I don't know what you would call it, a biologist. I don't even know what the right definition or title would be. He saw some doctor that I guess is very accurate in determining how much longer you will live. And I guess the doctor, based on health, maybe habits, everything.
Dana?
Yes, Dana White.
Oh.
And I guess he was given, let's say, 10 years and 4 months to
That's
live.
That's it?
Yes.
I
guess that scared him straight. I don't know if there's, you know, I guess eating better, getting, you know, working out more, whatever it was. But apparently this doctor is very accurate in his diagnosis, if you want to call it that, or predictions of when people will pass away. So
why was the question then, would you want to know when you want to die?
Well, it was bad wording by me, but basically Gresh was asking,
would you want to know when you were going to die? That's a good question, actually. If I have now, I'm only 28, so if I only have 10 more years left, I do not want to know that. But if they tell me I got like 50 left, and I would hope to live past 78, but then you could start to, actually, you know what? I think I would want to know when I'm going to die. Even though that answer would scare the crap out of me if it was only, I don't know, 10 more years. And then you could try to do all these things, and then you end up living for another 50, and the doctor's just a dope, which I don't trust the doctor to begin with. That's just me. But I think I would have, I think I would want to know. Because then, let's be real. If I was told I only have 10 years to live, as much as I love this job, I'm not spending 10 more years doing this job. I love this job. I'll do this job for 5 more years, and then I want to go enjoy the final 5 years of my life. Where'd you stand on this, by the way, Rye?
Oh, 100% want to know. Yeah, because I got to make sure if I have 3 years left, let's say I'm living my life the best I can.
Wait, you're telling me you wouldn't stay as the producer of the Zach Gelb Show if you only had three more years
to live?
I have
a lot to do between now and whenever, you know, I leave this earth. And I want to make sure I fit it all in. So whether that, again, that's 3 months or 300 years.
Not to make this very morbid. If you were told you had three more years to live, you getting married in the next 3 years? It's a tough question for you. You've had a girlfriend of, what, 6 years now? 4 years?
About to be 5 years in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. I don't know.
Oh, that's a bad answer, but you got to say yes.
I don't know.
You got to say
yes. 3 years to live? I don't think so,
to be honest. Your girlfriend's not going to like that answer.
Why? But, okay, if we spin it on the other way to get me out of this predicament.
I can understand your mentality, why you would not want any commitments, but if you've been with someone for 5 years and you're trending in that direction, the ball is already in the red zone of you guys getting married.
Right, but why would my girlfriend want to get married to someone who's going to die in 3 years?
Out of love.
Yeah, but then what? Then I'm going to die and then she'd have to just start the whole process over again. So I'll save her of the sadness, and I'll say, you know what, get out now while you can. Save, you know, I also need extra money. I'm not going to spend it on a ring that I'm, you know, going to need for 3 years. I'm just going to save the money.
Does your money matter if
vacation.
You can only live for 3 more years?
Well, I want to make sure I, you know, do whatever I can. If I need an extra, I don't know, 10 grand to go sit front row at a Mets game, I'm going to use that to instead of buying a ring.
Wait, hold on. If you have 3 years left, that's what you want to go sit front row at a Mets game?
Well, one day, for one of the days, yeah, absolutely.
You wouldn't want to, like, travel the rest of the country?
Well, I would, of course. Okay. I'm not going to be traveling for 3 years,
that's
for sure.
The first thing you say is sit front row at a Mets game.
I'm just saying, like, you know, do things I normally wouldn't do. If I'm going to spend a ton of money, you know, I'm going to need that extra cash that I would otherwise spend on a ring. So that's why I would say no to that answer.
I love how Michael Pittman caught the football and you go, extra cash! You got very excited there, Hot Take.
First down. So the Colts, I was confident they get one
chains.
First down.
Move those chains.
They got
Move
a first
those
down.
Chains. Who?
What are they in? The second quarter? It took them the second quarter to get a first down, but here we are.
You would have to put some pressure on Jim if he only had 3 more years to live. Jim Irsay to get this team back to a competent level.
I would do a lot of things, that's for sure, in 3 years. I would be yelling at a lot of different people.
Here's part of, though, why I wouldn't want to know. Like, I'm conflicted. I would want to know, but I wouldn't want to know. Who knows if this doctor has any actual accuracy with this?
I think you have to play along. In this hypothetical, you have to assume he's pretty accurate.
I love Dana White. Does Dana White actually think he's going to die within 10 years? No shot.
You can ask him.
And I think that's more of a burden on him now. That he thinks he may only, is this doctor right? Is it not right? He may only live for 10 more years. What aggressor?
He would want to know.
He would want to know.
I don't see the downside of knowing.
Well, the downside is you don't have to worry. Leading up to your death. You got to worry. If they say you have 5 months to live, or 5 years to live, let's just say. Yeah, the first year, second year, enough. But then you get to that final year or two, it's uh-oh. Yeah, you get to do a lot of things, but there's probably a lot of stress and agita on if it's actually going to happen or not. And then imagine you throw a parade. Oh, yeah, the doctor was wrong. And then the next day, bam. Dunzo.
I feel like there'd be quick acceptance.
Yeah.
Unless you want to change your eating habits and say, you know what, screw you, Doc. I'm going to outlive you and just live my life normally.
Use that as a little motivation?
Right, a little kick in the behind.
Kind of be like...
change your habits.
Kenny Pickett? We're not the underdog. We're gonna look past you, Doc. We're going to be the top dog. Don't you worry. All right, anyway. You got some quarterbacks for me this weekend?
Yes, a little this quarterback or that quarterback. There's some bad matchups here, but some interesting quarterback matchups for sure. Let's start in New York. Note Tua Tagovailoa, obviously it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater taking on Zach Wilson, making his second start of the year. Who would you rather have for this game only, Teddy or Zach?
Zach. More upside. I know you say it's for this game only. I just think they're is more life to that arm of Zach Wilson. And I think Zach Wilson, even though he's not more accomplished than Teddy Bridgewater, at this stage of both their careers, he's a better playmaker. So I would take Zach Wilson over Teddy Bridgewater just for this weekend.
Andy Dalton, I believe from the last I've seen it, will start this week, or at least presumed to be the start of this week, as the Saints take on the red-hot Seahawks. Would you rather have Geno Smith for this game or Andy Dalton?
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Even if it is Jameis Winston, I'd rather have the guy that leads the league in completion percentage. And through the first four games in the history of the NFL, he has the highest completion percentage in the history of the league for a guy starting his first four games of the year. I think it's like a minimum of 150 passes from ESPN Stats and Info. Did you see the exchange of Geno Smith with the reporter today?
I did.
Got a little cocky. He said, do you have that audio?
We do.
Oh, look at that. I was surprised. That wasn't on the cut sheet. Play me that audio real quickly then. This is Geno Smith with the reporter.
You're in the midst of doing something that we frankly haven't really seen before. The guy was a backup for 7 years and now you're in the top of the league in passer rating. You just got offensive player of the week.
You surprised by that?
Mine?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you told me before the season, I'd be a little surprised.
Yeah, it's because you never watched me throw.
It's because you haven't watched him throw. And how many opportunities in the last few years have we really had for Geno Smith to watch him throw? I know he started a few games last year, and he played okay. But it's not as if there's a lot of tape on Geno Smith, recent tape on Geno Smith leading into this year. I like that, though, from Geno. Geno's done a good job this year. So it's only four games, but restoring his image, he's done a good job.
He's definitely a lot of receipts. I guess he's ready to send
in terms
back
of
to
on the field. Let me be clear. In terms of on the field matters.
Like you said, he's a historian. Whether this,
oh,
you know,
my God, what a terrible pick! Is that Carson Wentz back at quarterback? Oh wait, it's Matt Ryan. That was horrible. That could be one of the worst interceptions, unless if that ball got deflected. That is one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen. Oh, my God, it wasn't even deflected. Turn out the lights. The party's over. Oh, sorry. Some large lady just ran into the studio and started singing. In a game that's only 6-0, why would a large lady just come into the studio and start singing? Oh, she's coming back. La! Wow, isn't that a little harsh, Hickey, that large lady just came into the studio? It's only 6-0. Matt Ryan just threw a pick. They're down 6-0, and she's saying that the game is over?
This team stinks, but I would not be saying that.
Wait. You just said the Colts stink. I thought they were a good team. And it was all, they're beating themselves in all these games. Stop. The Colts suck. Even if they come back and win this game, they suck. Say it with me. The Colts suck this year. Can you say it? Can you say it, Hickey?
They stink.
You feel better about yourself, right?
No, I don't. I feel better if they scored a touchdown. I feel better if they actually had a competent drive. Or didn't wait to get down, you know, double-digit points all of a sudden.
Again,
put an offensive drive that actually looked somewhat decent together.
You do this to yourself, though, because you actually thought that they were going to win this game tonight.
Okay, it's 6-0.
They suck.
The Broncos' offense is literally doing nothing.
But why would you even tell yourself that they were going to win this game? The Broncos stink, too, but why would you even think that you were going
to
win this game?
Because this was a game that, to me,
why
felt like
set yourself up for the rejection?
Everyone was on the Broncos. To Frank Reich's credit, I know you don't like him.
The one
thing he has done consistently
is not
in his
show up
era
to start
in
games.
Indianapolis is anytime this is, there's a lot of... Oof. I just saw the next Thursday night game.
Yeah, Commanders-Bears. That one's going to be better than this game.
That's going to be a rough watch. Anyway, anytime there's always some thought of, oh, this team has no chance, that's usually actually when they win the game.
Wait, how'd you guys get the ball back?
No, they're just doing a replay.
Oh, they're doing a replay? What the heck?
They're promoting their other platforms that they have.
And they show a Colts highlight Amazon?
Well, there's not many highlights.
After a
what are you
going to
do? I mean,
that was very confusing.
That was, what, a 15-yard completion they just had that they showed?
And it wasn't a straight-up complete. Like, it wasn't as if the ball went 15 yards in the air. It was some yak that did occur there.
That is that is probably the best play of the game for either side.
No, the best play of the game was an interception. That was awesome.
Well, I don't know about that. That was a gimme.
Your football team stinks. And the Broncos stink, too. If they lose this game, Frank Reich getting fired? They leaving him on the runway?
I don't think so. I think it's for Frank Reich to get fired in season. I think it's going to take 2-10. Oh, you know, actually, you know what could do it? Could do it. Here, I'll tell you this. If they get their doors blown off in Tennessee in 2 weeks, Jim Irsay hates the Titans more than I hate the Titans. If they lose 31-3, they lose 34-10. That could be a game, watch out, where Frank does not make the trip home.
Do you know where he's going to have to fire him before, if this continues to go this way?
Where or when?
And I'm saying it could happen within the next 3 weeks. And that Tennessee game, you may be 100% right. Maybe the first right thing you said about the Titans all year. I mean, the Colts all year. Here's why. Have you looked ahead to who the opponent is the week after that game against Tennessee?
No. Is it Philly?
No, it's the Commanders.
Oh, jeez.
So, if Matt Ryan plays poorly up against Carson Wentz, and Wentz plays good in that game, Frank Reich's going to say, well, that's my guy. That's the guy I wanted to keep, and Jim made me get rid of Carson Wentz. So, it delays the firing for a few more weeks. So, if they lose this game tonight to the Broncos, well, hold on, the fat lady's coming in again. Can you go away? This is just not nice to Hickey. All right, if you must. So they lose that game to the Broncos tonight. Okay, go away, fat lady. We don't need you anymore. And then they lose to the Jaguars and then lose to Tennessee. Even if they go 1-2 in the stretch of these next three games. But let's say they get embarrassed by Tennessee. You can't let Frank coach up against the Commanders. You just can't.
I'd agree with that. I mean, yeah, I think the Tennessee game would be the one to circle. It's not going to happen this week. It's not going to happen next week.
All right, give me some more of these quarterback matchups.
Speaking of Tennessee.
Oh, that's real misleading.
Carson Wentz.
The Broncos just fumbled, but the play was blown dead. There was a flag, and it looked like the Colts are running down the sideline about to make it 6-6.
There's Melvin Gordon. One of the reasons why I thought the Colts were going to win this game, budgeted at least two Melvin Gordon fumbles. There was one.
Did you budget a Matt Ryan fumble?
Yes. Yeah,
about seven of them?
He was down anyway. Okay. That's why.
That was a penalty anyway, too. All right, continue.
Ryan Tannehill is taking on Carson Wentz. Which quarterback would you have for this week?
Ooh. Logan Woodside. Isn't that the backup quarterback?
Malik Willis.
Where's Logan Woodside at these days?
I think he might be practice squad for the Titans.
Oh, okay.
Taylor Heineke.
Oh. You know what? I can't believe I'm going to say this.
No, you're not.
Because Tannehill is the better quarterback. I don't like this spread. This spread is only Tennessee, a 1.5-point favorite. The Commanders stink, too.
You really going to do what I think you're going to do?
Carson Wentz. Yeah, don't like it.
I almost didn't include this because I just figured you're going to just, even with Ryan Tannehill being Ryan Tannehill, he's still a
guy. Tannehill is a better quarterback.
Wow.
He's more trustworthy. I don't know. I just get a feel that the Commanders are going to win this week.
Wow, for this week,
you got to be fired up. Ron Rivera looks lost right now. He sounds lost right now. This guy's got to, if they still care for that coach, which I think they do, they got to show a little bit of a fight this week.
I'm glad. Did not see that coming. Okay. Let's talk about another quarterback battle that's very interesting. 49ers, Panthers. Who would you rather
Jimmy
have
G.
for this week?
Don't even ask it. Okay. Jimmy G. Baker Mayfield stinks right now. Jimmy Garoppolo. You know me. I do not love. You've made me in this segment pick Jimmy G and Carson Wentz. But Baker Mayfield stinks right now. And he's getting chippy with the media. When they ask him if there's anything he could do to try to avoid getting the football batted down the line of scrimmage. Baker, terrible this year. Awful. Putrid.
Okay, let's move on. Let's go to a big matchup here in the NFC. Cowboys-Rams. You saw Matthew Stafford struggle mightily against the 49ers on Monday Night Football. We know Cooper Rush undefeated as a starter in his career. Who would you rather have it this week only? Cooper Rush or Matthew Stafford?
Rush is playing the better football, but I still go Stafford. Stafford coming off a bad performance. I'll take Matthew Stafford. He's the better player.
Very similar style of players. Jalen Hurts or Kyler Murray?
Jalen Hurts.
Here's a great one. Great quarterback matchup.
Well, no, here's why I'll take Jalen Hurts. They asked Kyler Murray to do so much that it's all on him. Not that Jalen Hurts is just simply a facilitator, because that would be disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. Tremendous leader. That team really does believe in him. But I think Jalen Hurts is set up in a better position to succeed than Kyler Murray is.
Sunday Night Football. Bengals, Ravens.
Oh, this is the best one.
Who would you rather have for this week specifically? Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow?
Lamar. I know it can contradict my Kyler Murray answer because Lamar is asked to do so much. That Bengals offensive line, though, scares me. And Lamar's at home. I'll give the edge to Lamar.
And finally, Raiders, Chiefs, Derek Carr, or Patrick Mahomes. That. Well, the only reason why I did is because you shocked me taking Carson Wentz over Ryan Tannehill. So I figured, I want to give you the opportunity.
Yeah, I want Derek Carr.
And the 1% chance that you were feeling frisky today to take Derek Carr. That's all.
Yeah, give me Derek Carr over Patrick Mahomes.
Jane Alaska, line one. Yeah, I'll take Derek Carr.
Yeah, come on. You know, give me Stidham. What would he ask me? Stidham next, too? He's on the Raiders? Yeah, obviously, Patrick Mahomes. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So the other day, I got an opportunity to chat with the Pro Football Hall of Famer and legendary Bills QB in Jim Kelly. I want to play back two things for you right here. This is Jim Kelly and why he believes that Josh Allen will become the best quarterback in the history of the Bills franchise. You know it, in Buffalo, for years they were saying, please get us the next Jim Kelly, get us the next Jim Kelly. And those prayers were finally answered. What is it like for you to not only see the way that Josh Allen's career has really developed, but now has taken off to where he's one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback in the NFL?
Well, I love seeing it. I've heard that for so many years, and I think they finally got a guy not only probably just as good, but he keeps going the way he's going to be. He's going to shatter all my records. I won't even have any. He'll be halfway through his career. He'll be probably already by mine. So, but it's good to see it. He's a good kid. He's great for the community. He's a great leader. Everything that a franchise would love to have. Everybody that, you know, that would love to have a guy like that in your community, go and run, help foundations and charities and all these. You found it in Josh Allen. So it's good to see, and I love watching it.
So you think he's going to go down as the greatest quarterback in Bills history?
Who, me?
No. Josh Allen. Yeah, you. Your opinion on it, it's a pretty important one.
Your bottom line is if he continues to do what he's, what he has done and been doing, he's going to shatter all my records. Oh, without a doubt, he'll be the greatest ever. I hope it happens. I mean, that's what I would love to have. I live here. My kids, my two daughters are huge Bills fans, and they would love to be able to see all my records, maybe not be shattered, but broken. They probably will. We will, but the thing that comes with that is wins, all those victories. And we, of course, you don't want to talk too much about that Lombardi trophy. It's not here yet. But to be able to, keep fighting and get back and hopefully at least get to the game and try to get one and pull one off and win one, that would be awesome. So I'm excited about what I see with what we got, behind the center.
That's got to be such an awesome feeling when you have your guy and you've been a franchise that ever since that guy that just said that in Jim Kelly was no longer part of the Bills organization, you were looking for that next great quarterback. And it took forever to find it. But now, the only thing that could impact that guy being the guy are injuries. And Josh Allen, we all know, is a wonderful, magnificent quarterback. Like, Hickey, I hate to go to you on this because, yes, you had Peyton Manning, then you had Andrew Luck, but your team is now in that mess of trying to find the next guy. Hey, my team had Tom Brady. No one's going to play a small violin for me, and you're trying to find that next guy now. To be able to have that guy and have one of your franchise legends say it, if you're a Bills fan, it's almost puts you in a spot where you don't know how to kind of deal with the success. just because you've never won a championship. Yes, you've been to four Super Bowls in a row and you lost all of them. You know, we all know that. But to hear how positively people associated with the organization, people not with the organization, are now talking about your team. And it's been that way all offseason. And even though they've lost that one game to Miami, it still kind of has felt that way all throughout, that everyone is so high on the Buffalo Bills. And it took the Kansas City Chiefs, who have been this great team for the last 5 years, to remind everyone this year, hey, we're still pretty damn good, for it really to now become a two-team race in the way that we're looking at it. These two teams play each other in a few weeks, where it's Buffalo, Kansas City, and everybody else in the AFC.
I would love to know the feeling again, but like you mentioned, it's just almost like there's so much weight taken off your shoulders when you have such a great quarterback like Josh Allen is, that solves so many problems, where like you see it, even if you have a hole or deficiency, it doesn't matter. Like, he's an eraser, and very few teams have it. And to have that now for another decade, you'd think, right, with Josh Allen being so young, it has to be a great feeling for the Bills fans.
And there are few areas of weakness on this team. The only two things that Jim Kelly talked about in the interview, and one's in a negative way, the other is just an obvious statement, is you just hope they stay healthy. And you already saw, right, the Micah Hyde injury, which was a concern. There's no doubt about that. And you look at the only feeling that really could derail this team is really probably, what, three things? Tom Brady beating you in a big spot, Mahomes beating you in a big spot, and then I would say injuries. Now, Jim did bring up the run game and taking some things off of Josh's plate, and he's not wrong. We've talked about that. And that's why, if I'm Brandon Bean, you kind of, in a copycat league, channel your inner Les Snead and go F those picks. I'd be on the phone right now with the Raiders. And I know the Raiders just had a good game and they won and they're 1-3, but they're playing the Broncos. The Broncos stink, even the Broncos beating your Colts, who also stink, in this 6-0 game so far, which is setting offense back about 2,000 years. But if you are the Bills, you don't leave any stone unturned. You got a good offensive line. You got a good tight end. You got good wide receivers. You got a great quarterback. You got a number one defense that added Von Miller. The only thing that you look at where you go, oh, okay, that offense has a little bit of an area of weakness, and maybe James Cook turns out to be really solid. Devin Moore, Singletary, oh, he always goes on a 4 or 5 week stretch where he plays really well out of FAU. But I would call up the Raiders and see if they'd be interested in parting ways with Josh Jacobs, who they did not pick up his fifth-year option. And I don't usually advocate giving up high draft picks for running backs unless you are a team that running back is the missing piece. And for the Bills, the only area you could go, I don't love their roster, is at the running back spot. So I have no problem, even though his deal is expiring, if I am the Bills, in calling up Josh and Dave with the Raiders and saying, second round pick. You don't have to start there, but I'd be willing to give up a second round pick if I'm the Bills to go get Josh Jacobs.
Especially when it's twofold, like you mentioned, it helps shore up the one big weakness they have, which is running game. But also, too, it helps protect your star quarterback and Josh Allen, because he's been the one to supplement the running game, and now you take carries away from him.
Leading rusher 3 out of 4 weeks.
And preserve his body. So it's like almost like a double benefit in getting a running back. Like you mentioned, it's boost the run game and save Josh Allen.
And Boomer Esiason, it was last week, he advocated for maybe Saquon Barkley getting traded to the Bills. If you are a new regime right now and Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, when you're off to a 3-1 start, I think right now the timing, even though you have a new regime in Las Vegas, but you're not winning, the timing right now to trade Saquon when this team is 3-1 and they're playing well, I know they'll probably lose to the Packers this week and fall to 3-2. It is a tough sell to some of those guys in the locker room that you're trying to get to buy in. If you're the Giants, you may just have to, and this could get contentious, you may just have to franchise tag Saquon Barkley at the end of the year. It would be tough to trade him now, because whatever you're preaching is working and you're asking for a buy-in. If you trade one of the more popular players in the locker room and the best player on your roster, even though I would be concerned with his lack of being able to stay on the field, of giving him a big long-term deal, I think you may need to franchise tag Saquon Barkley and probably not trade him to the Bills.
I get the optics would not be great right now at 3-1. What I will say, if the Bills come knocking for a first round pick,
that's different. You have a price then.
I know players don't think this way, but you came in with very low expectations. There's not a lot expected of this team. And it's the teams they've beaten outside of the Titans, who are, again, kind of borderline okay anyway. It's not like, you know, they're beating great teams.
No, that's fair. No, you're not wrong on that front. Jim Kelly, by the way, I'll play you one more here. He explains why he's rooting for Kenny Pickett, just not this weekend. You go into Miami and then still following probably closely the ACC. Kenny Pickett, who won the ACC Player of the Year last year, coming into town this weekend for his first career start in front of those Buffalo fans. What do you kind of expect out of Kenny Pickett?
Good luck. I like what I see. I think he's going to be a good quarterback, in the near future. He's young. He's going against, a very good defense, a defense that likes to put a lot of pressure on. And we'll see what happens. I wouldn't want to be him this time, but you know what? You have to start somewhere, and we'll see what happens. But I wish him nothing but the best of luck because, you know what, throughout this year, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I've been a Steelers fan. Of course, I'm a Bills fan now, but Steelers are my second choice. And you always wish nothing but the best for a young kid. And you hope he does well this year.
Yeah, I would find it very hard to believe that this is going to be a nice game for Kenny Pickett this weekend. Here's one just betting number early. Bills laying 14 this weekend. 14 points a lot in the NFL. And you could be trailing by like 3 scores and your backdoor cover and all that. Marco, you've been around a lot of years. Bills laying 14 this weekend in Buffalo, rookie QB, first career start.
I'd stay away. It's a lot of points.
I know.
You got to do it.
If you have to do it, I would probably
take the Bills.
That's why we go to you for the voice of reason, because you're right. That is the ultimate stay away game.
Well, I mean, there's
too
games.
Many points.
Look, there's games that you look at and you go, I don't have to do this. There's no reason that I have to pick this game. So let me pick the other game that I feel
pick
better
the
about.
Game!
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you pick games that you feel good about. That's not one of them that I would feel good about. If I had to, I would still take Buffalo.
Ryan? If you had to pick that game, Bills and Steelers, would you lay the 14 with the Bills?
I would. Zach Wilson, the Jets, scored a good amount of points. Buffalo should put up a lot.
Here's my number one rule. If I think a team's going to win, and I feel really confident about them winning, I usually lay the points on a big number. But like that big number is usually like 8 or 9. 14.
Yeah, it's not college. It's a lot of points.
I would hate to plus the team that I think is going to lose and get blown out and then plus the 14.
Right.
I would probably plus the 14 and then about at the third quarter hate myself for plusing the 14 when it's 38-0. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll ring the closing bell next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I'll get to the closing bell in just a second. Hickey, real quickly. If you had to guess, is this Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson? 9 of 17 for 69 yards. Is that Russell Wilson or Matt Ryan in the first half?
Definitely Russell Wilson.
Yes. Matt Ryan is 12 of 19 for 140 yards. No touchdown, 1 interception. Russell Wilson, 9 of 17, 69 yards. 23 rushing yards. Is that the Broncos leading rusher, Russell Wilson, or the Colts leading rusher in this game, Philip Lindsay? 23.
I will go Russell Wilson.
You would be correct. Philip Lindsay is 34 yards. 55 yards receiving. Melvin Gordon or Michael Pittman Jr.?
Michael Pittman Jr.
You are correct. That's the leading receiver, 55 yards for Michael Pittman, 25 yards for Melvin Gordon. Leading tackler, 7. Is that the leading tackler for the Broncos or the Colts?
There's been a lot of sacks on the Denver side, so I think that's split up. I will say Colts leading tackler, 7.
No, Kenny Moore is the leading tackler for the Colts with 4. Josie Jewell is the leading tackler for the Broncos with 7. Why, oh God, there?
He's an Iowa guy. He gave me, you know, plenty of agita in Penn State, Iowa rivalry games back in the day.
Okay.
As a tackling machine.
Gotcha. Yeah, 4 sacks that the Broncos had in the first half. 1 for the vaunted Indianapolis Colts defense.
Colts rookie left tackle. 3 holding calls in the first half. I don't know if that's a record, but boy, he's close.
Eh, someone's got to be worse. Only 3?
In the first half alone. Like, that's enough for the game.
It's a lot, but you have a bad drive or 2. I could see someone getting like 4 or 5.
Watch. What? Holding calls?
Elias Sports Bureau.
Look that up at halftime here.
All right, let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Let's start you off. This is a call from ESPN. Listen up to the name of this basketball player.
Assault, curling off the screen, driving baseline. Oh, you fat with a 3. Yes, I just said that. That is that man's name. Don't tweet at me. I don't want to tweet from anybody. That's the man's name.
Steve, ho you fat. Can I get that audio clip one more time? I thought I was envisioning something or heard something that can't actually be the person's name. One more time.
Curling off the screen, driving baseline. Ho you fat with a 3. Yes, I just said that. That is that man's name. Don't tweet at me. I don't want to tweet from anybody. That's the man's name.
If I got on the radio today, Hickey, and said, ho, you fat, I'd probably get fired. That's that person's last name, though.
Think it's God-given? Or do you change it? Like, I don't know how you get that last name. And it's not one word.
Yeah, I have no clue. I don't know where the guy's from. I have no clue any of the information on this story. All I heard, though, was, ho, you fat. And I was like, come again? What'd you just say? Ho, you fat? But that is the name. Is it spelled how it sounds?
Oh, yeah. To the letter.
Really? I got to do a little Googling here.
H-O. Pretty sure it's Y-O-U. F-A-T.
Do we know about the...
Now, Steve is spelled differently.
Ho-U fat family lineage?
No. Cannot say we know much outside of Steve, who, interestingly...
It's French.
Spelled with 2 E's in the front for Steve. S-T-E-E-V-E.
Yeah.
To add to that.
Yeah, I have no clue. But anyway, it's a great name. So give a stock up to Steve Ho-You-Fat. Stock up to Quinn Ewers making his return for Red River, Texas, Oklahoma. Stock up. Stock down to Thursday Night Football. It's 6-3 at the half. I have zero interest in watching this game in the second half. I have to, though, for work. Stock down to Thursday Night Football. Draymond Green reportedly threw a punch at Jordan Poole. Bob Myers doesn't believe that contracts fueled the arguments between Jordan Poole and Draymond Green, both looking for new deals.
I don't think this was related to who's getting paid and who isn't. I don't sense that. Make your own conclusions. Probably more important what players think on that than what I think. But I don't see it. I've actually seen a really good group. I've really seen them for people that were in Japan with us. Actually, it's one of the best vibes that we've had in my 12 years here as far as camp and health and mental health and camaraderie. But it's unfortunate and not going to deny it. And it'll take some time to move through, but we'll move through it.
Maybe there's something that Jordan Poole could have said, but I don't give the benefit of the doubt to Draymond Green. And you're punching a teammate, like, well, what are you doing? And you're not Michael Jordan and Steve Kerr, right? Come on. Stock down, Draymond Green. Max Johnson, broken bone in his throwing hand, the quarterback at Texas A&M. They may go back to Haynes King. I know that they play Alabama. I think it's time for Connor Wigman. Stock down, Max Johnson. Shame, too, because I was curious what he was going to do at LSU, then at A&M, a little excitement, and then this happens. Let's hear Baker Mayfield talk to the media earlier today.
If you have a drill for me, you can let me know. coaches have given you any suggestions for something like that?
I mean, it's like staying in the pocket. It's finding windows to throw, getting their hands out quicker. I mean, it's the same things I keep saying.
Now Baker's getting a little chippy with the media. Some attitude. Stock down. He's not a good quarterback. And finally, remember Mike Golic joined us last week and I told him the story how we saw Mike Greenberg, his former radio partner, in the airport ordering a bagel with butter and then getting a slice of cheese on it? Golic out of nowhere said, oh yeah, Greeny once or multiple times he eats wings with a fork and knife. I thought that was like a throwaway joke. Mike Greenberg was on a podcast and he admitted that he does eat wings with a fork and knife and pizza. It was on the Kevin Clark's Slow News Day podcast. So I guess it was a slow news day. But we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Why is Mike Greenberg eating wings with a fork and a knife? That annoys me. Stock down. Fun show today. Big thank you to Kevin Harlan and Will Middlebrook stopping by. We'll do it again all tomorrow on a Football Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. That's the Zach Gelb Show. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.